Good morning. What a good morning it has been. I wanted to just make an observation. I think our congregation is becoming a little more Pentecostal. And it may not be what you're thinking. As I was in the narthex today, as people are arriving for worship, you know, we had some air conditioner issues for a few weeks, and everybody's going, "Woo, this is great." So the hands were being held up as people were entering today. And then the music came today at this service. And Esther and Easter are not spelled that differently. It gave us a little bit of Easter. And Brad, I think you should have had that oblation sooner. It has been wonderful. Thank you so much. And it has had a spirit like Easter in here today, like we're here to be. So we're here to hear another message from Esther. This is a story of deliverance and hope, and it speaks to us in a lot of different ways. These are people 2,000, 3,000 years ago, much like us today. God used them for some amazing things. And it occurred during a time of bleakness, sadness. It would have been very easy for folks to think that it's just not going to happen. God seems so far away. But that elevates this message for us today, that it's in those moments where it seems like it's so impossible, so much to overcome, it's in those very moments that God works and we are amazed. With thoughts like that in mind, and whatever the Lord has placed on our heart, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Dear God, we thank you for your word. We recognize that our word is insufficient. Our ways lead us astray, but yet your words are perfect and lead us to the way, the truth, and the life. So now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This is an exciting time of year. If you're a Florida Gator fan, and I know we have some in the congregation, you likely are smiling a little bit more today than you typically smile. That was a thrilling end of the ball game last night. And most everybody will have a chance to either smile or cry this coming weekend. This is the 150th year of college football. You may or may not have known that, but ESPN is doing some features on the history of college football, and of course I'm interested in the history as well as what's going on currently. But in that history, they are uncovering inspirational stories that have changed people and changed colleges, changed even our social life. As racism back in the 60s, one of the ways that it helped was to have the integration of college football teams to help with the process or to fight racism. Of course, we know there's still issues with that today, but there's been some lessons, there's been some inspiration, there's been some touching stories of comebacks and overcoming the odds through the years. How much more so does the story like Esther speak to us? If college football can speak to us in only 150 years, how much more so can God's word speak to us that has been true for thousands of years and will be true thousands of years from now? These stories of inspiration we need, particularly in those moments where we just don't, we look at the future, we look at our lives, and we have a bleak forecast. We particularly need this word in such times. The book of Esther reminds us that human beings can be good or evil. And this is our human condition. If we follow God, good things begin emerging as we follow and apply Jesus' teachings. We've been teaching about a discipleship roadmap and looking at this issue of living as a disciple every day. That's what we want everybody to do. And that is a way that we keep our purposes good and true as we walk as a disciple of Jesus every day. When we follow our own pride, when we follow our own whims, we go a different path. And usually we reap what we sow with that choice. So people are capable of good and evil. Anyone is. We see that in the story of Esther. We see it today. We see also that as we look into our world, that there's this original sin that was caused in the fall when everything was perfect and God gave Adam and Eve just one rule and they could not obey it. Their pride got the best of them and they fell. But God had a vision in the very beginning, and he had a vision of what he wanted us to live like and what our world to be like. And so here we are, imperfect people in search of God's perfect vision. Imperfect people in search and seeking to participate in God's perfect vision. All of us have to look beyond our imperfection, our sins, our shortcomings, to seek to join in with what God is doing in the world today. Many years ago, I've been married to Karen 34 years, and she's here up front today, and my daughter Brooke is also with her, and we've been married 34 years, and when she met me and we dated, she thought I was perfect. But when we got married, that status just went out the window. I don't know what happened. And even in my professional spiritual calling as a pastor, she makes suggestions, believe it or not. Her grandmother gave her a book. I don't remember all this story about how you share your critique of a pastor and when you're married to him, and said the wife would be best served, the spouse, to look for a good time to go over what you need to talk about. So prepare a pie, I think was the suggestion. And so after that time, brief time, Karen was enamored with me, and we moved into reality, I started getting a lot of pies. And somebody at 8 o'clock said, yeah, the evidence is there. You've been getting a lot of pies. But you go over what you need to talk about after you've had a wonderful pie. And you know, this is relating to this message, I believe. Let's see if I can connect it back. We as imperfect people, even in the church, we are to seek God's vision, perfect vision. And it takes encouragement of one another to do that. It takes encouragement when it's not easy. It takes encouragement when you fall short. It takes encouragement when you get off course. And so it's a great message for us that we are all imperfect people, but make no mistake about it, we are seeking a perfect vision, the perfect vision of God together. And we seek to grow in that through our daily discipleship. Growing every day in our daily discipleship. Now, this fall that I alluded to earlier is a reality too, that we know we live in a fallen world. We know we live in a fallen community, that there are ills, there are sins, there are moments where we fall way short of God's vision for us. So what do? Well, we know more than they knew in the book of Esther. We know that Jesus died on the cross for our redemption. So there is a way, even in our imperfection, to make everything right again. There is a way in our sinfulness to make it right again, for Christ to make atonement for our sin through his blood. There is a way to restore us when we've fallen. So this is the gospel message, that no one is beyond redemption, and that God does have a perfect vision in front of us he wants us to pursue. He has a perfect vision in front of the church he wants us to pursue. And Jesus' death on the cross gives us the victory that we sang about earlier, over evil, over death, over sin. The story of Esther gives us some inspiration. And we need inspiring stories to break us out of our thinking pattern. Sometimes our thinking becomes stinking thinking. And we need something to break us out of that pattern. And that pattern would be the victory, the unity, the inspiration we read in the book of Esther. It is for a people that were discouraged. It is a rallying story. It's better than any college football game ending that is dramatic. This is a story about human beings can be redeemed, and God can bring inspiration to bring out the very best in us. We read about courage in the book of Esther. Mordecai and Queen Esther both acted with courage. And so we learn these lessons from them. And we are challenged to be more courageous in our following the Lord. And not allow our fears, not allow the distractions, not allow the things that work against us to prevent us from following what God wants us to do. Courage. And again, courage can happen in an environment where there is encouragement. And all of us contribute to that environment of encouragement so that our courage can grow to do what the Lord wants us to do. Encouragement feeds courage every time. But inspiration does too. We need those stories of how God can overcome events. He can do the impossible. We need those stories to see that God creates a way when there is not a way. In the 1992 Olympics, there was a runner in the 440 event. And he was all trained. He had worked all of his life for that moment where he would run the 440. And he would be able to do his best. His name was Derek Redmond. He represented Great Britain. And in Barcelona, his time came to run. And he ran as fast as he could run. He ran even beyond what he had trained to run. And unfortunately, he pulled a hamstring. At this moment, this critical moment in his life, he pulled a hamstring and he started limping, and all the other runners, of course, passed him and left him in their wake. In this most disappointing moment, his father came out of the stands and put his arm around his son and helped him to make it to the finish line. Now, which story is more inspirational? The one that won the gold medal or Derek Redmond's father coming and helping him to the finish line? That's the kind of encouragement I'm speaking of. And in this environment of encouragement, in this environment where we seek God's perfect vision, though we're imperfect, God can do amazing things. God can redeem imperfect circumstances. He can turn it around. He can transform it. He can make it upside down. His power is able to do that. God can redeem any circumstances. And that God wants us to pursue His perfect purposes in the world. So we hear and we have a strong message here in Esther through the life of Mordecai to do the right thing, to follow God's purposes, even when it's not easy. Now, in the life of Mordecai, we see some attributes we need to lift up. Mordecai was willing to take a risk. He was willing to take a risk. You may remember in reading that Haman, he was so put off with Mordecai because Mordecai would not bow down as everybody else would bow down in his presence. And Haman took this very personally, and it festered in Haman. Haman knew that Mordecai was a Jew. And when Mordecai refused to bow, he saw his world so differently through his anger toward Mordecai. It not only stopped there, though. This anger toward Mordecai evolved and became hate, hatred. And we see that in the world today, don't we? We see a grudge become something that elevates and escalates and eventually becomes outright hatred. And hatred is a dangerous thing. And we see in this story how Haman's hatred of Mordecai led to not only him wanting to put Mordecai to death, but a whole nation of Jews, all the Jews, to annihilate them off the face of the earth. So we see in this story that Mordecai risked his life because he knew that if he got involved with trying to overthrow this plot against the Jews, that it could cost him his life. He knew that disrespecting Haman could even cost his life. But yet he was willing to take the risk because he valued other people. He valued what was going on with the other Jews. And he was willing to take this risk for their behalf. So Mordecai was one who took a risk. He was one that showed great courage. And basically, he laid it all on the line, as did Esther. Think about it. Esther could have been put to death too. Mordecai, he found out about a scheme in which the king was going to be murdered. And he told Esther to tell the king. And so the king's life was spared because Mordecai revealed this plot to kill him. And later on, when this plot to kill the Jews was revealed, Esther knew that if she even spoke to the king, she could be put to death. She had to have permission to talk to King Xerxes. But she took that risk. And she spoke on behalf of her people. Mordecai and Esther both spoke with great courage, and they took risk for their people. Mordecai and Esther needed each other. They were cousins. And you can make a case that without Mordecai, there would not have been an Esther. And without Esther, there would not have been a Mordecai. We need each other. And this story teaches us how we all work together in what God places before us. But Mordecai laid it all on the line, even his life, for the Jews, as there was a plan to annihilate all the Jews on the face of the earth. And of course, Esther told Xerxes of this plan, the king, and he changed it. And everything reversed on Haman. His pride And all of his scheming backfired. And he was the one that hung on his own gallows. That'll be coming up in coming weeks in sermons. But it was Mordecai that stood strong, that took risk and had the courage to do the right thing and save the Jewish people. He laid it all on the line. You know, we can really benefit from that message. Because there are moments where we need to lay it all on the line. There are moments in our own relationship with Jesus. We need to lay it all on the line. Not give Jesus part of ourselves. Not give here and there, but to put it all on the line. To bow down humbly before the Lord and give him all of ourselves. There are moments we need to do that. 40-something years ago, I had an experience I'll never forget. It's not what you think. But I was a sophomore in high school, Jackson High School. We took a one-hour bus ride over to Butler, Alabama, and we played our opening football game. I was a sophomore, and was I about to be introduced to what it was like to be on the varsity football team. We played Butler. It was a hot night. It was just prior to Labor Day. And we were supposed to beat Butler. But Butler, on this night, beat us. We were upset. We were defeated. And I learned that the worst thing about losing on the road is you have to listen to your coach the whole way home. And our coach let us have it. For 1 hour, I cannot say the words he said in church. He let us have it. He even said things like, if you're not totally committed, don't come to practice Monday. And Monday was going to be Labor Day. And he said, because if you come to practice Monday, I will promise you a practice you will never forget. And here I am, 40-something years later, I remember. Back then, they did not have all the regulations on coaches for the well-being of players. There was actually times where we did not get water because we were not practicing right. We practiced for 7 hours. One drill after another, after another, after another, till dark. And I'm not here to say that what he did was right or wrong. What I can tell you is we won the next game 32-0. Something happened with our team that week. We bought in. We didn't hold anything back. And if it's true in sports, how much more true is it with the greatest mission on the face of the earth? Jesus calls us to honor him as Lord and Savior. And in fact, Jesus said it this way about what Mordecai and Esther did, laying their life on the line. Jesus said in Matthew, he who saves his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it. Jesus is saying we have to be all in. It could be that this week it is time for us to have a come to Jesus meeting. Maybe with ourselves. Maybe with someone else. Jesus wants all of us. It is a good time not to hold back, but to find life through losing it, relinquishing it, and giving to Jesus our heart, all of us. I invite you this week to have that come to Jesus meeting. The Lord of Lords wants to be Lord of your life and my life. He wants to be Lord of this church. Let's have that come to Jesus time this week. Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for this word from Esther, that people were about to experience unthinkable harm, but yet you had a way. And we thank you for Mordecai and Esther, for their ability to rally your people. And now, in our world, in our nation, in our community, in our church, in our lives, we seek to be fully your people. Lead us now as we make you Lord and Savior of our lives, and as we are your disciple completely. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.